Today we're doing part 3 of our class on aversion. Hello and welcome to episode Namaste Young Yoga. Hello, welcome to Namaste Yoga number 321, Awakening Your True Self. And we're doing the 5 hindrances, and we've been doing aversion for 3 weeks now because you have so many poses that you are averse to. This is the last of the part 3 parts on aversion. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for welcoming me into your home for the next hour as we journey into our innermost home. We are on Mount Tomi today. It is brisk and damp and cold. And we're trying to get this filming in before it starts to rain. So fingers crossed. I have a testimonial for you today. This is from Maurizio. He says, I am Italian and a 50-year-old man. I've always practiced sport and had no idea about following yoga classes. By chance, last summer, I watched some of your YouTube lessons. Nowadays, yoga is in my life. I just wanted to say thank you for allowing people like me to discover and enter your beautiful world, a multidimensional world that I would have known long before. I really appreciate the fantastic work you make. A very important activity that could help people be better. Ciao, Maurizio. So thank you very much, Maurizio. Thank you to Squeezed Yoga Clothing for my clothes. Today I'm wearing long brown leggings, and I do have a long sleeve bamboo top on underneath all these layers. You're going to need a strap, you're going to need 2 blocks, and you're going to need a blanket today as well. And that's thanks to Dusky Leaf. So today we're going to be looking at lots of modifications for pigeon's pose and for cow's face pose. So we're going to get started lying on your back with your knees bent and your feet flat on the floor. So we're going to start with a modification of pigeon's pose. Pigeon's pose can be very hard on the knees, especially if you have knee injuries or issues with your knees. So this is the version that you're going to take. If pigeon's pose bothers your knees, you can lie on your back and do keyhole stretch instead. So you're going to cross your left ankle over the top of your right knee, and you're going to draw your right leg in towards your chest. From here, you're going to reach around and hold on behind your knee, particularly if you have knee issues, which is why we're using this modification in the first place. And then, where did I put that strap? Oh, it's right here. If you can't reach, you're going to use your strap and hold on like this. Relax your shoulders, breathing into your low belly. And then you're going to release the slide, and you're going to do the other side. So cross your right ankle over the top of your left thigh, open up your right knee, draw your left leg in towards your chest, and again, if you can't reach, you're going to use your strap to draw your leg in. Okay, and then release your leg down. From here, you're going to roll to your side and come up onto all fours. And we're going to come into pigeon pose. So we're going to work with pigeon pose. You want to avoid this pose if you have any knee injuries with your meniscus or ligament injuries. If you have any sacroiliac injuries, because the legs are doing opposing actions, one is bent, one is straight, there's a lot of potential for torquing in this pose. Then later when we do the king pigeon version, if you've got any shoulder injuries, taking that leg around behind your back and your arm around behind, we'll get to that later. You want to avoid that king pigeon version. Okay, so we're going to look at some modifications for this pose. So first modification, you're going to, instead of bringing your knee across, your foot across to your opposite hip, you're going to bring your knee straight up underneath you and take your leg straight back. So there's a modification for pigeon pose. So let's do that. If this still bothers your front knee, then you're going to go back to the version that you just did on your back. Okay, so let's do this modified version of pigeon on the other side. So slide your knee straight back, and we're going to slide your left knee straight forward. So your heel is right underneath your hip, and you slide your right leg straight back. So this version opens up the front of your hip a little bit more than being more about your external rotators on your left hip. So slightly different variation on pigeon, but still a good version of pigeon. Also safer if you have sacroiliac joint issues, because it keeps the pelvis level and there's no less torquing of your pelvis as well. Okay, and then you're going to come back. Now, another variation on pigeon pose that you can take. So the one lying on your back, the keyhole stretch, is a great one. It's called sleeping pigeon. I really like that one. I think it's the best variation. This one looks the most like it, but as my teacher said yesterday, yoga is not an aesthetic practice. I don't care what it looks like when you're doing it, and you shouldn't either. So I think the one lying on your back is the best variation, but this is another variation. You take zigzag legs, so your right knee is bent in front of your left bent knee. So this one looks similar to pigeon, and then you fold forward in front of your bent right leg. So there's another variation on pigeon, and I think it puts less pressure on your front right knee. What I don't like about it as much is you can see that your pelvis isn't level at the back. Okay, and then you're going to switch sides. So this time you will do zigzag legs with your left leg bent in front of your right bent leg. And then you're going to fold forward over front of your bent left leg. And then you can release this side. And the other version, we're going to show the kind of more typical version of pigeon pose. So you're going to come onto all fours. And you're going to keep your hips square. So this is one where you're going to be very mindful of keeping your hips level so that you keep your sacroiliac joint safe. So what you need to do is rotate your right leg in its joint, and then your left heel comes over to your left hip bone, and you slide your left leg back and long. Okay, then this is where I ask you to get the blanket. So if there's any space between your buttocks and the ground, you're going to fill it with a blanket or a block, and then you're going to fold forward. Now, if your left knee is grinding on the ground, then you're going to tuck your left toe under and lift your knee. And then slowly you're going to make your way out of this posture. And we're going to do that whole sequence on your other side. So keeping your hips level and square, so hip bone to the ground, and that's all going to stay level and still. And so it's your left hip joint that's going to move. So you're going to bring that forward and around so that your left heel comes underneath your right hip bone. And then you're going to reach your right leg back and long so that you're not torquing your SI joints here. So sometimes that's going to rotate and stuff because your left hip isn't flexible enough, and we want to keep that level here. Fill the space underneath your left butt cheek, between the butt cheek and the ground, with a blanket or a block. Fold forward, and then if your knee is on grinding on the ground, you tuck your right toe under and lift your heel. And then you're going to release and slowly find your way out of this posture. And I believe we're going to come to a seated position now. Yes. Okay, since this class is so focused on your hip joints, we're going to do a mudra for joint pain. I suspect why this pose is one that many people are averse to is because of just joint pain. So that's why I chose this. So on your right hand, you're going to bring your thumb and your ring finger together. On your left hand, you're going to bring your thumb and your middle finger together. So right hand, thumb and ring finger, left hand, thumb and middle finger together. And you're going to rest that on your lap, and that's for joint pain. And then you're going to sit with your spine straight, your shoulders over your hips, and your ears over your shoulders. You can sit on a meditation cushion to allow your knees to drop to the ground. And allow yourself to receive the teachings for today. This week we continue with our five hindrances. The five hindrances are common mental states that arise in our practice and lives that can impede our yoga practice or just our mental wellness. They have been observed and taught as part of Buddhist studies. In teaching about the five hindrances, Sharon Salzberg quotes the Buddha. He says, "Our minds are naturally radiant and pure. Our minds are shining. It is because of visiting forces that we suffer." The five hindrances are grasping, aversion, sleepiness, restlessness, and doubt. And they act like guests in our home. They are just visitors. They may visit a lot or even continuously, but they are still visitors. Naturally, as human beings, we become identified with these visitors and we take them personally. We think that we are right or wrong or good or bad, depending on who is showing up in our mind on any given day. When we see ourselves as bad and horrible, these states pull us in and distort our perception and they make us feel stuck. Aversion is anything that you don't like or don't want. And as yogis, we have plenty of opportunity to experience aversion as we confront experiences that we don't want or push away on our yoga mats. Sometimes they can be the physical postures themselves, emotional states, mental thoughts, energetic experiences, such as feeling lethargic or maybe too buzzy, or even spiritual insights. You may not like a yoga posture. You might feel resistance to certain emotional tones, such as anger or frustration. You might push away a very common experience of a mind that chooses to go over and over something that is bothering you. You might fight fatigue, or you may experience some resistance to concepts that are being offered through teachings. Aversion is most commonly described as anger, hatred, rage, jealousy, and fear. But I feel like these kind of things let us off the hook because it's easy for us to not identify with them. In truth, we all experience more subtle forms of aversion on our yoga mats and throughout our day. We experience irritation, impatience, boredom, annoyance, frustration, resentment, and sorrow. These are normal parts of our yoga practice and our lived experience. I think in our yoga practice, it's really important to note the distinction between aversion and a safe yoga practice. There may be certain yoga poses that you avoid or modify to keep your body safe because of injury or illness, or to avoid injury or illness. But that might not necessarily indicate an aversion to your yoga practice or a yoga pose. On the other hand, you may actually experience aversion on a mental level should you experience irritation, impatience, boredom, annoyance, frustration, or upset mentally when you take a modification to keep you safe. So for example, if you had to keep going back to that version of modified pigeon of keyhole stretch because of knee issues, you might have started to get irritated. So that would be aversion. We can bring our moment-to-moment awareness to check in during yoga practice. When we observe and are open to the unpleasant emotions, we can notice the feeling and embrace irritation, impatience, boredom, annoyance, frustration, resentment, and sorrow with compassion and loving attention. Attention to aversion asks us to be present rather than run away and hide. When aversion arises, we can remember it is not personal. It is a visiting force of our mind. It has simply clouded our mind and distorted our vision of our present moment experience. It is a gift to remind us of how we are not accepting things as they are and trying to make things better for us. We can notice how we try to change reality and exert control. When aversion arises, we can bring loving kindness, compassion, and forgiveness to this temporary state of mind. So reflect on these teachings and your experience of knowing what has happened and what will happen for you in this yoga class, and begin to form an intention of what you would like to receive from the rest of your practice today. What is it that you're liking to create, sustain, release, or rebirth in your practice today? Okay, so once you've formed your intention, we are going to do a downward facing dog with some hip openers. So you're going to come onto all fours. I might show this somewhat quickly in down dog because I do have a shoulder injury that precludes me from doing down dog very well. And I'll be able to do it much better on all fours. But you'll probably be able to do it from downward facing dog. So you're going to tuck your toes under, inhale. Exhale, you're going to come into Adho Mukha Svanasana. And then you're going to take your right leg back and up. Open your right hip. And then bend your right leg. It's a nice hip opener. This actually feels okay. And then we'll come back to the center. I'm gonna take a little break here. In child's pose with your hands down by your feet. And then let's do the same version of Adho Mukha Svanasana on the other side. So spread your fingers nice and wide. So actually, let me just show that version. You could also do this from all fours. Take your leg, open your hip like that. So that would be a nice modification if you're working towards building strength in your upper body. Otherwise, you can come into downward facing dog. Take your left leg up, open your hip, and open up. I don't advise doing this in socks, but it's too cold to take my socks off. Okay, from here, you're going to make your way up to standing. From standing, we're going to do a standing pigeon pose. You could also do this seated in a chair. This is another variation of pigeon. You're going to take your arms out to the side for balance. You could use a chair or a wall to hold on to help you with balance as well. Okay, so you're going to stand on your left leg, cross your right leg over your left leg, and then you're going to sit down. And then we're going to come up and we're going to do this on the other side. So stand on your right leg, cross your left leg over your right leg and sit back. Okay, and then release, and you can shake it out, and Tim just mentioned that you'll probably be able to hear the hummingbirds in the background in this video. They seem to live just in these trees over here to my left. You're right. Okay, we are going to do one pose that might come as a little bit of a surprise to you. This is a pose that builds strength in your upper body. Tim's looking surprised behind the camera. He's ready to be delighted. I hope you're ready to be delighted too. This is a pose that's going to build strength in your upper body and your arms. And it's a pose that will help to prepare you for arm balances and inversions. And the reason why I put it in is because many of you told me that you avoid inversions and arm balances. And so I really wanted to put this in here because it's a safe inversion and it's a safe strengthening pose for inversions. So it's one that I think should be in your practice. It's very strengthening for your upper body and your arms, and it's a safe inversion. So I think putting it in your practice is a good idea. You're going to need your strap. Your strap should be as wide as your shoulders. You can put your strap around your elbows so that they don't splay out to the side. And then you're going to come onto your forearms and you're going to come into downward facing dog on your forearms. And that's it. Okay, so there you go. That's a good one to be putting in your practice and to build strength in your upper body. So I'm gonna be better about including poses that are gonna build our upper body strength and we'll try and include dolphin pose more and planks and things like that. Okay, so we're going to do some king pigeon pose now. So that's the one where your back leg comes up. I want to show you some variations. We actually kind of did one of the variations in the last version, kind of, except we did the folding forward. So king pigeon is the back bending version of pigeon. So you're going to come onto all fours. Let's start with your left leg, since then you'll be able to see the gesture leg closest to you. So again, keep your hips square. You're going to rotate your left leg around, slide your right leg back. Okay, and you're gonna stay in the back bending version. So the modified version of this would be, instead of bending your back leg, would be to curl your right toes under and lift your right knee. So that's a nice modified version of this pose. Okay, now the other modified version is to take your strap, and I like to lean out, take my strap around my foot, lean back in, and hold on like that. Okay, so go ahead and let this posture out of your body. And then we'll try this on the other side. Okay, so you're going to rotate your right hip around, trying to keep your hips as square as possible, not like that looked at the end of the last posture. Slide your left leg back. And it's better if you're closer to the front of your mat. And then, so the modified version of the back bending pose is to curl your back toes under and lift your knee. And you can stay with this. Or you can reach around and hold on to your foot, or you can hook up your strap. Okay, and then go ahead and let that out of your body. And that is King Pigeon. I have to admit, that is a posture I probably avoid as well. So sometimes I think you have to ask yourself, and I'm going to be doing a few blog posts on this, because a lot of you mentioned poses that you avoid were wheel pose, crow pose, and headstand. And I think sometimes there's good reasons to avoid poses. So in my opinion, wheel pose, headstand, and crow pose are poses I think are good poses to avoid, unless you're working with a qualified teacher in a studio setting where you can receive lots of assists, lots of propping, the support of a teacher. Like, I think you need to be assisted with one, if not two, teachers with those poses. So, and I also think, like, you know, I know lots of people that have injured themselves doing crow pose. So I think there are better poses like King Pigeon. You know, that's a great one to get into your quads and stuff. But there are lots of better poses to get into your quads. You know, the way you could see on that pose on me, the way there's a lot of torquing going on in my pelvis. And then there are lots of better poses where alignment can be kept a lot more safe. Your SI joint are kept a lot more safe. So there, I'll get off my soapbox. But I think there are good reasons to avoid certain poses sometimes, just so that you can be less injurious, but that's my opinion. I'd be curious to know what your opinion is on that. Leave it in the comments. Okay, we're gonna cross your left leg over your right leg for cow's face pose. Now, people's hips are tight, so I find that people's hips are either tight with flexion or rotation. In rotation, I've been blessed with open hips. If you have not, then you're gonna need to fill the space with either a block underneath, which helps a lot, that would work. Or I've got some other modifications for cow's face today. You can, yeah, sit on a block. If you're having difficulty, you're gonna put the foot of your top leg flat on the floor like you're doing Marichyasana instead. Or you can sit just in easy pose legs as well. Okay, so those are your options. Sit like this, sit up on a block, sit with a foot on the floor instead, or sit cross-legged instead. Okay, so those are your options. Okay, we're gonna twist. And twist to the other side. And then we're gonna forward fold here. And then you're going to internally rotate your left arm and bring your left arm up your back, and then bring your right arm up and over with your right elbow pointing straight up. And if your palms don't reach, that's why you have your strap. Okay, and then release. You're going to switch your legs. So this time your right leg is on top. And again, fill the space underneath, or put your right foot on the ground, or sit cross-legged instead. Okay, so do what works best for you and your body. Remember, it doesn't matter what the pose looks like. If you're feeling it, this is an internal practice. It's all about meeting yourself where you are in your practice. And if aversion is happening, that's what the practice is about today. So we're going to twist again. And twist to the other side. And fold forward. And come up, and then you're going to internally rotate your right arm and bring it up your back. Bring your left arm up and over, and when your arms don't reach, you're going to use your strap. And draw your hands together closer on your strap. And then you're going to release. And from here, the last pose that many of you told me you had aversion towards is forward folds. And I think that is a lot about, again, this attachment to what a forward fold should look like. So you're going to turn sideways on your mat. And we're going to do half cow's face forward fold. And you're going to cross your right leg over your left leg. Lengthen up tall through your spine and hinge forward through your hips. You only need to fold forward until you feel something happening on the back of your leg. So I think the aversion in this pose comes to needing it to look like something, and it's about getting a stretch on the back of your leg. That's it. Come upright and switch legs. So this time your right leg will be extended. You're going to cross your left leg over your right leg. Sit up nice and tall, and exhale and hinge forward over your right leg. And then come upright, and I'm going to get you to lie down on your back for Shavasana. you're going to stay resting back in Shavasana, and I'm going to sit up and read you a poem. This is a poem called Dreams by Mary Oliver, and I chose this poem because I felt it spoke to the opening of our joints as we practice yoga. If it speaks to you, great. If not, you can just let it go. All night, the dark buds of dreams open richly. In the center of every petal is a letter. And you imagine, if you could only remember and string them all together, they would spell the answer. It is a long night and not an easy one. You have so many branches, and there are diversions, birds that come and go. The black fox that lies down to sleep beneath you. The moon staring with her bone-white eye. Finally, you have spent all the energy you can, and you drag from the ground the muddy skirt of your roots. And leap awake with two or three syllables like water in your mouth, and a sense of loss, a memory, not yet of a word, certainly not yet the answer, only how it feels. When deep in the tree, all the locks click open, and the fire surges through the word, and the blossoms blossom. So gradually allow your breath to deepen. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. Bend your knees, roll to your right side, and pause there for a moment. And slowly make your way up to seated. Thank you for joining me for episode 321 of Namaste Yoga. We'll finish our practice by gathering the fruits of our practice first into ourselves and then offering them out into the world with our mantra Lokha Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, which means may all beings be happy and free, and may the thoughts, words, and actions of my own life contribute in some way to the happiness and freedom for all. Lokha Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, Lokha Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, Lokha Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. So if you like today's show, please press that like button. We appreciate that very much. If you're new to our channel and you would like to receive a free class every Friday, then please subscribe to our channel. And if you're watching on iTunes, then please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe to us on iTunes as well. We appreciate that very much. If you know somebody who would benefit from today's class or would like this class, then please share it with them as well. Thank you for your donations, Victoria, Diane, and Donna. If you'd like to donate, you can leave click here. And also, if you'd like to contribute through your time, then you can leave a comment. Today's comment is, I asked you something earlier. It was about, do you ever feel there are good reasons to avoid certain yoga poses? And if so, what yoga pose do you avoid, and what pose you feel is better to do than the one that you're avoiding to stay safe from? That was the question. Okay. If you'd like a list of the antidotes to the 5 hindrances, then you can go to Namaste Yoga, melissawest.com/321, and I will give you a list of the 5 hindrances and their antidotes. It's a dog and pony show here. When we film, we stop for helicopters, planes, leaf blowers, and all sorts of things so that it doesn't disturb your filming. And we've had to stop a lot today. When we're outdoors, we do have to stop a lot. But we're going to just try and finish up now because it's very cold and we're really just getting really cold. So we're going to finish up. You're going to get to hear what we usually cut out of our filming for you. And if you'd like more support in receiving, in doing one of the poses that I hear that you avoid the most, which is crow pose, then I would recommend our crow pose class where I give you lots of modifications. See how loud it can get. We have a crow pose class in our membership community where we give you step-by-step instructions and modifications and a really safe way to do that in our membership community. You can become a member here. So I'm sending you much love from the Gong Show here on Mount Tomi. May your joy be as deep as our Pacific Ocean. May you be as strong as our mountains, and may you be as rooted as the trees in our forest. Om Shanti. Namaste.
Melissa would love to hear your questions and thoughts. Please leave your comments below the video. Thank you for your reviews on iTunes and YouTube. Your reviews help us to share yoga and a yoga lifestyle with others around the world. If you have a question for Melissa, you can leave a voice message at melissawest.com, and Melissa may answer it in an upcoming blog.